loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. Now, if you have not joined up for our private Facebook group called the Restaurant Coach Nation, when would now be a good time? It's free to join if you're in the restaurant industry. Plus, we have a free mentorship program as well as our way to give back so you can get some guidance about your restaurant and career. So let me start off today's episode by asking you a question. Are you happy with where your restaurant or life is right now? Now, if you said no, please allow me to coach you as to why. So you know deep down that you should make changes in your restaurant and your life. So why don't you? Change, I'm telling you, change is a fickle thing. And while it calls on us to embrace it, it's quite resistant to being caught. Change is a hypocrite. And when you try to make changes in your life and your restaurant, it pushes back on you. Why? Because you have a bunch of bad habits and blind spots. Negative habits are always resistant to change. Those habits that you and your team have, they run deep. And it's going to take more than a book or even a podcast episode to evict them. Habits are at the foundation of change theory. To be able to conquer them, you first have to understand why change is so hard to achieve, which kind of leads me into a story about monkeys and food. Seriously. So many of you know, I was a member of the U.S. Air Force pararescue teams. Now, some of the pararescue men stationed in the Philippines tell a story of how hunters catch a monkey. They use a strategy that understands the monkey's behavioral patterns. Now, these patterns sometimes work against the monkey's best interest. Now, of course, you've never, ever done anything that works against your own interest, have you before? Okay. So, the hunter takes a jar with an opening slightly larger than the monkey's hand, and he ties a rope around, the neck of it using a knot, which they call, actually they call it a monkey's knot. I know it's not original. Which is kind of has a kind of a cradle in the rope around the jar. And then the hunter places some food in the jar, like maybe some rice or a banana. Now the monkey reaches his hand into the jar, grabs the food, makes a fist with his paw. And now the monkey's dilemma, he can't get his hand out of the jar unless he drops the food. The neck of the jar is not wide enough. So, of course, the monkey could drop the food and easily get his hand out, but he won't. His monkey mindset won't let him. Despite having the ability to escape, he doesn't. He just holds tight to that food, screaming and screaming until the hunter kind of throws a net over him and captures the monkey. Now, here's my question. Have you ever held onto something that you should have let go? Many people don't know when to let go and when to move on. And this can happen a lot in restaurants. When someone holds onto something beyond what they should let go, and then they should move on. Perhaps you have some staff you feel deep down, you know you should let go, but you hold on to them like that monkey with his hand around a banana, screaming about the problems they cause and all the drama they create, when all you have to do is open your hand and free yourself. Now, do you have some personal habits that are holding you back? Or maybe you're holding on to something that you should let go. And come on, be honest with yourself. Is it hard to let those things go? Yes. Is it required if you're ever going to grow yourself and your business? Absolutely. So here are three obstacles, obstacles basically sabotaging your efforts. Number one is fear. Fear, real or imagined, I'm telling you, fear is a powerful enemy to change. Fear keeps us immobilized and stuck in situations when we know deep down we should change. Marketers know that, and they use fear as a tool to get you to buy all kinds of things you don't need. Here's the thing. Do you allow fear to use you, or do you use fear to move into action? Fear of the unknown is going to be ever present, and it can be paralyzing if we allow it. So why don't you train your team more? Fear. Okay. Fear says, well, if I invest in training them more and they get better skills, they're going to take those skills to another restaurant. That's false. Okay, that's a bunch of bullshit. The real fear here is that what if you don't invest in training your team to elevate your food, elevate your service, elevate your marketing, elevate your leadership. And then if you do not improve, you're going to be really stuck. Your competition is going to be the one who adapts, outperforms, outsells, outmarkets, and outtrains you. Fear is natural, and it's hardwired into our brain as a survival mechanism. Fear just needs to be acknowledged and respected. It does not have to be obeyed. Write that down. Fear does not have to be obeyed. Face your fears, address them, and then do the opposite of what fear suggests. Okay, you know, and I'd be saying to myself, okay, you know, I can see where investing and training in the team is risky, but you know, there's a chance that some will take those skills and you know, some will leave to another restaurant, but those that stay will become better, and that will elevate the entire brand. Number two reason, your comfort zone. Being comfortable is dangerous. When you are in your comfortable, I'm telling you right, you are the most vulnerable. If you're not adapting to keep pace, or yet better yet, stay innovative and stay ahead of the pack, you quickly find yourself displaced in your market. Your comfort zone is a place where bad habits just love to hang out. They're like old friends. And no one wants to get rid of an old friend, especially if you've known them since childhood. Some of those habits that have been living up in your head for a long time, all right, and they've been living up there rent-free. It's really time to start writing some eviction notices. Number three, false expectations. People in general, and I know I've done this too, I'm just as guilty, we all have what is known as kind of the fortune teller syndrome. You've already had this preconceived notion that it's not going to work, right? This is also known as kind of being a pessimist, okay? Honestly, you can tell if someone really suffers from this by the language they use. Do any of these statements sound familiar? Well, you know, we tried that before. Really? How many times? That won't work in our market. Okay, do you have data and research to back that up? You know, we've always done it like this. Well, I hate to tell you that. That might be the problem right there. See, that fortune teller syndrome is what psychologists call negativity bias. Our minds are wired to help us survive and adapt. Unfortunately, some of that wiring may not be conductive to helping you grow or your business grow. Negativity bias is when your mind reacts to bad things stronger than it does towards the good. And here's the thing. Psychologists will say it takes 5 positive comments to override every negative one. Now, the good news is that you know that, okay? Now you have inside information how your brain is wired to help create change. When you are aware of something like negativity bias, you have a choice. You can choose to accept it or choose a different path. That's the greatest thing that we have. We have this thing called free will, and you always have a choice. Now that you understand some of the things holding you back from making the changes that you need to do, let's talk about how to implement change in your life and actually in your restaurant. And there are 3 P's to making change happen. Number one is purpose. You got to know your purpose, your vision, your mission, and why you need to change, right? That is very powerful. You need to know the why. Once you know the why, the how is easy. The biggest obstacle is not connecting to a powerful enough why. Your purpose has to be connected to emotions. You can think of a lot of logical reasons to do things, why you should change, but logic will not move the needle. Logic does not move us into taking action. So let's look at a couple common changes that people struggle with, or one common change, and I know I've struggled with it in the past, and that's going to the gym. Okay. Now, on the surface, you can think of a dozen reasons right off the top of your head why you should go. Yeah, you'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You'll be healthier. So why do most people not commit to take action? Many have not tapped into the emotions of what they're going to get as a result of going to the gym. Think about, the feelings that you get after a workout. Okay, you're confident, you're happy, you're calm, love. Yeah, I mean, seriously, yes, love. Because taking time to take care of yourself is love. It's self-love. And when you tap into emotions, you tap into your ultimate power source. The second P to making change happen is persistence. Change is going to push back on you. That sweet, soft voice of your comfort zone is going to come calling to you over and over again, and you have to be committed to staying the course. This is especially difficult for restaurants because while you might be extremely committed and dedicated to seeing these changes take place in your business, the other people in your team, I hate to say, might not share that same enthusiasm. And if you've tapped into a strong reason why, you're going to be able to weather the storm of negativity and doubt from your team. Persistence also means being adaptable and making adjustments as needed. Of course, not everything is going to go to plan. Be ready for obstacles. Expect them to rise up and to challenge you. Thinking ahead and having a contingency plan is the best way to circumvent these occurrences. In neuro-linguistic program, something that I study, NLP, there's a preposition which they use, they call it as a guiding principle that states, if something doesn't work, try something else. If that doesn't work, try something else. If that doesn't work, try something else. If that doesn't work, try something else. Do you get the hint? Too many times, we try to implement change and we give up way too easy. The third P to making change happen is patience. Now, back in the 1950s, there was a plastic surgeon named Maxwell Maltz who he was really fascinated by human behavior. And Dr. Maltz discovered that, you know, it took a patient 21 days to get used to seeing their new face after surgery. And that's where that kind of famous 21 days to break a habit myth all started out. But the truth is, on average, it actually takes about 2 months before a new habit or change becomes automatic. In most cases, actually 66 days to be exact. Can you see where a lot of people give up way too easily when they don't see that their new behavior takes effect after only 21 days or less? For some people, it might even take even longer. There was a research at the University College of London that did a study published back in the European Journal of, I think it was Social Psychology, that said it took anywhere from 18 to 254 days for people to form a new habit. Habits truly do make and break restaurants. Habits are a reflection of the standards set for the brand. It is in those little things that we see, like the way we answer the phone, the way we greet our guests, the way we serve a drink, the way we plate an entree, the way we treat each other, how we clean the bathroom, how we present the check, how we say goodbye, how we say thank you. All those things are habits. It's also in the things that we might not notice, like updating cost, managing budgets, training, team communication, hiring, and employee appreciation. Some habits are real easy to start, like showing appreciation daily. It's so simple to walk up to someone on your team or a guest and just say these two magic words, thank you. Now, if you want your restaurant to stand out and excel, then develop a positive, you know, developing positive habits is a necessity. Aristotle said it best, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Now, when I was back in pararescue, we would often be inserted or dropped off in scenarios that most of the time was not exactly like the one we talked about. And that's very similar to kind of day-to-day operations in most restaurants. You start off with this really damn great plan, and then the day hits you and smacks you upside the head, and your damn good plan, you know, turns into a bad day faster than big screen TVs sell on Black Friday. Does that ever change? No, not really. But what does change is how you deal with it. So first, what we need to do is we need to figure out where you are and where you want to go. And what I call this in coaching, we call this your MAP or your massive action plan. And that old cliche, it's correct. If you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. I am totally shocked and appalled by the number of restaurants that do not have a massive action plan for their business or their life. They live each day purely in reaction mode. And they're just basically reacting to what's going on around them. In the spec ops world, if you do not have a solid plan, you know, you basically walk through several contingency plans as well. Because if you didn't, people died. Now, restaurants might not be so life and death on the surface. However, not having a plan and making adjustments, it's that same slow bleeding to death internally. So why do so many restaurants fail? Much of it's due to piss poor planning. Remember these words from famous General George Patton. In fact, I want you to hashtag WTSD, which stands for write this shit down. Okay, hashtag WTSD. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. All right. If you are not getting the results you want for your restaurant and your life, it's time to get busy creating a new massive action plan or map. Time to throw out those old maps, those old routines, those old habits that you have clung to like a security blanket. Because, man, I'm telling you right now, we are heading into new territory. There are no road signs where we're going. This is uncharted area for many of you. Your comfort zone will call you and ask you to come back. Ignore that call because it has nothing to offer you except only the same non-existent results that you were getting before. Don't worry. I'm going to be your guide on this journey, so you're going to have to trust me. I'm going to push you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to hit those buttons and hit those triggers of fear, anxiety, doubt, and at times anger. Yes. And I am going to be doing this to challenge your old views and help you see a new path and use new tools. And let's talk real quick about tools. So imagine a hammer sitting on a counter. Would you call it a tool? Now, it's only a tool if you pick it up and use it. Just sitting there, it only has potential to be a tool. Now, once you pick it up, you can use it as a tool. Now, and a tool can be applied for good or bad. Use that hammer, drive a nail into the wall to build a house. Good. Hit someone in the head out of anger. That's bad. All right. Now on this podcast and in my books, I'm going to drop all kinds of potential tools right in your lap. In fact, I'm going to repeat them multiple times just to make sure you get the message because that's how I work. And here's going to be your thing. It will be your challenge. It'll be on you to pick them up and apply them for either good or bad. Now, some of the psychological tools that I use in coaching can be used to influence your team, and that can be used to change yourself also. Now, I'm expecting if you're listening to this podcast because you have some integrity. So use these tools to improve yourself, your team, and your restaurant. Those less scrupulous people, that they can find some kind of quick impact or get maybe some temporary result or use this for manipulation. When you pick up these tools and use them with bad intentions, you're not going to last long in the business. And that's just guaranteed. Now, as I mentioned earlier, to get new results, sometimes you have to do things you've never done before to get something you've never had. So you have been doing the same thing over and over and over for years, creating unconscious habits. It's time to break free and pull away from your normal patterns. Time to learn some new things. Because the minute you stop learning, you start dying. To be successful, you need the right knowledge. You also need to be relentless in applying that knowledge through the right actions consistently. Don't talk about it. You need to, pick up these tools and do something with them. Please do not, for the love of all that is holy, do not get caught up in a perfection excuse. So many people in the restaurant industry love to throw out that, I'm a perfectionist kind of line. That's a bunch of bullshit. Perfection is not truly attainable. And if you ever did hit that mark, then what? Where do you go after it's perfect? How many times have you been halfway through maybe a podcast, reading a blog post, you attended a seminar, you had some really awesome inspiration, then you get up and you do something, right? What happened next? If you're like many people, you didn't do shit. Okay, you let those intense feelings get all stirred up and those emotions, and then you fail to take action. Or you did maybe one or two things, and then you stopped because you didn't see results. See, that's the habit of losers. Start and stop. And then they see the next shiny object. They try that. Start and stop. See, no commitment, and then they don't take a consistent action. They're just like that boy who cried wolf. All talk, no results. Nothing is ever going to change in your life or for your restaurant until you take action consistently and follow through with your map. That's why you need it. It's your guide. Your core values are your compass. You need to consider getting a support team around you to break free from those bad habits. Start with joining the Restaurant Coach Nation. And if you're really serious, then take it up a level and then join my elite group called Restaurant Masterminds. It's a peer coaching group, a model that's led by me personally, and it's broken down into three steps. Step one is basically a 90-day coaching cycle where we build the foundation, and it's called the 7 Driving Forces of Restaurant Success. Step two is you're going to attend our 2-day annual conference called the Restaurant Success Summit. It is amazing. It's 22 hours of pure education with 10 world-class speakers that are going to take you through 16 workshops. And then finally, step three is a 90-day strategic plan where we hammer into place the new habits and mindset that is going to break you free from where you are now and put you firmly on a path to getting the restaurant and the life you want. Now, it's time that you stop playing small in the world and get what you want. And I'm going to have links to all this stuff on the show notes. And with that, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sign off today, and I want to remind you that please always aim for outstanding, because anything less is a waste of your true potential.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.